Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, third in a series of messages, the third and final message on the book of Nehemiah that I am going to preach on Sunday mornings, at least at this point in time. I'm going to finish it up this morning. We're going to go to chapter 8, but let's look at chapter 1 before we start. Give you a little background again. Nehemiah has been called of God to accomplish the impossible. It's already been proclaimed by the king. The walls would not be finished. Nehemiah, a cupbearer to a Persian king, the king Artaxerxes, he's in a position of power and authority and even some wealth. And he says goodbye to all of it because of the burden that God laid on his heart for his home country and for the city of Jerusalem. It says in verse 1, "Now the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan in the palace," that was the summer palace of Artaxerxes, "that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Hey, I've been preaching on vision and trying to get you to have some vision and what we are going to do, what we want to accomplish. Let me just kind of back up. Not going to re-preach those first two messages. You should have been here. A couple of them were good, all right? One of the two was real good, and you should have been here. I'm not going to re-preach it, but you got to know this. Someone's got to care. In Nehemiah's day, it was Nehemiah. God called him. Nehemiah caught the burden. He saw that the people were afflicted, that they were shamed, that the walls of the city were down. He took it to God in prayer. He meant business with God. He confessed national sin. He confessed personal sin. He asked God for his blessing. He asked God that God would make his effort a success. I would say to you this morning that Chippewa County, the county in which we live, is a county that is groping in darkness, spiritual darkness. I am not implying that Fundamental Baptist Church is the only church standing with the light and standing for the truth, but I am saying we're the largest, and to whom much is given, we're accountable for all that much more. There's a great responsibility. And as the people of God that meet here at Fundamental Baptist Church, we've got to get a little bit of vision like Nehemiah had. And God, if you remember the messages, God provided the monies that were needed for the rebuilding of the walls. He provided timber, lumber. He provided a military escort. But in all of it, there was still opposition from without and from within. Sanballat and Tobiah and others. And some of the brethren actually got discouraged. But it was an impossible task. Nehemiah believed the impossible. He got the vision himself. Then he gave that vision to the people. The scripture tells us in chapter 4, the people had a mind to work. And the scripture also tells us that the wall was finished in chapter 6 in 52 days. That was a miracle. A miracle of miracles. I challenged you last Sunday morning on the offering for the connector building. And I'm pleased to tell you this morning that almost $16,000, $15,800 and some dollars came in for the connector building, plus $3,000 pledged towards the end, before the end of the month. That puts us near or maybe even over the $19,000 mark. That means we're about $9,000 away from having everything finished out there. Glory to God. And there were 16 families. Some of you are here this morning. You were gone on your vacation last week and you weren't here last week. We need you to be involved. I'm just saying it'll be a miracle building. We're not going to go in debt for it, but we're on the way, and God is blessing. And just in case you're somebody that is hyper-spiritual and you just don't know whether you want to give to the work of God, don't sit on the bench. Don't sit on your hands. Your brethren are going to war. Get involved with them. Don't be that one that's afraid to give and say, "Well, I'm going to wait and see what's needed at the end, then we're going to get." Give now. Man, let God bless you. Let God use you. You don't know, you may even die this next week, right? It could happen. I read a little poem that said, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. That's actually pretty good. You know, and so but that in itself, okay, that's just introduction. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Now we're going to read that the walls are finished. Ezra, whose ministry overlapped Nehemiah's just a little bit, the temple's finished. They got the walls, they got the temple. It's been rebuilt. Man, what else do they need? Very obviously, we're going to find in chapter 8. And by the way, I want you to know that Fundamental Baptist Church is not a perfect church. Yet. We will be. We are predestined to the image of Christ. One day we'll be presented to Christ, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Fundamental Baptist Church is not perfect, but it's a place to find God. It's a place to grow personally in grace. It's a place to raise our families with Bible core values. It's a place to bring friends so that they would have opportunity to follow God. Now, I want to say this. We're not done. We are not done. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. The walls are built against all odds. God raised up a man. God raised up a leader. God burdened that leader. He fasted. He prayed. He looked at God. He confessed personal sin. He got a vision. He shared that vision with the people in Jerusalem. They caught the vision. They had a mind to work. All kinds of opposition. They worked shoulder to shoulder in building and rebuilding those walls. Sometimes they worked with a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. When a trumpet would sound, they would all leave their position on the wall to get to a spot where the trumpet was being sounded, because that means they were under attack. They were together in the work of God. I said last Sunday morning, I'll start with this morning. The happiest people are the people that are on the walls. The happiest people are the people that are invested. They're sweating. They're bleeding for the cause of Christ. They're doing their part. Maybe they're an old man or an old woman and they're not young anymore, but they're doing their part. Maybe they're giving a little extra. Maybe they're younger and they don't have a lot of money, but they're putting sweat and equity into it, and together we're the family of God. And the work of God is getting done. By the way, let me share the vision before we get to verse 2 here, and this is big stuff. We are a long ways from finished. If the Lord tarries, and the trumpet doesn't sound we go home by way of the rapture very soon, which I fully expect. But I want to be in the saddle when the trumpet sounds. I want to be in the harness, doing my part of the load when the trumpet of God sounds. But if he tarries his coming, and I don't believe he'll tarry long, there's so much more that needs to be done. You know, the connector building is not an end in itself. It's a tool. Just like the walls were. Something was still missing. The walls were built. The temple is up, but something's missing. It is the Feast of the Trumpets. The people are looking around, probably feeling pretty good about themselves. What is missing? Just like in the New Testament, in the last days, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Somebody comes up with the idea, where's the book? Bring the book, Ezra. Ezra was the high priest. Ezra, bring out the book. You see, the whole message of the book of Nehemiah is repentance and revival. The connector building isn't going to bring revival. After the connector building, the new entrance over here with the bigger bathrooms, which we need so we don't have to stand in line, and the big nursery, you know, that is not going to bring revival. When we kick this wall out here, that isn't going to bring revival. We kick that wall over there, that's not going to bring revival. Once we get an auditorium that seats 700 people, that will not bring revival. Something's missing. Now, they're meeting in the largest open area in the city of Jerusalem. All the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. That was the large gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Here's the point. There's a real simple point. I'm going to read some more verses, and it's all built around this. And I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say it. The wall is not enough. They're rebuilding the walls. They got to be rebuilt. That's the tool. Man, that is so needed. It's needed for protection. No, they got to have that. It's just part of the way life is. But it's not an end in itself. The building is not enough. Got to have it. It's a tool, but it's not enough. God has blessed us. We have almost $4 million in buildings on these 20 acres. That isn't including Camp Canaan land. We're not rich. We live from week to week. We live by faith. We truly do. But it's just a tool. When the trumpet does sound, this building isn't going to be raptured. When the trumpet does sound, I love this pulpit, but it's not going to be raptured. It's going to stay behind. The church of Jesus Christ is who is going to be raptured. And we need to add, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about a physical building. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of Jesus Christ is a mighty marching army. Here's what we got to do. Here's the vision you need. Please get this vision. See the people we got in here today? It's a pretty good crowd, especially for an August Sunday. This is a good crowd. But this isn't half the crowd we need to have here. The crowd should be overflowing out into the parking lot and every building being used. Truly, that's the way it ought to be. There needs to be somebody with vision. We can't be people that are just interested in maintaining status quo. We can't be just interested in being a custodian. We need to be pioneers. We need to be builders. We need to be soldiers of the cross. We need to be a people that is out reaching the lost and bringing them to Jesus. All the people are gathered there at the water gate. They're all gathered. Ezra, bring out the book. We got the temple. We got the walls. We've been working hard. We need the word of God. Read on, verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. Verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday. That means early morning, almost sunrise, until noon. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. When we truly are a people of the book, of the word of God, we really get into it, that's when revival is going to come. I believe it was last Tuesday, am I right? Last Tuesday was the last day of the month of July. Am I right? Am I a week off? I think it was. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. It was two weeks ago. All right? That Tuesday, that's when you should have been finished reading through the New Testament. You know that more things spiritually, this is not a coincidence. There was more spiritual victory in the month of July at every level, than probably this church has ever experienced in any 30-day period of time. And it's not a coincidence that that was the month that we as a church were striving to read together through the New Testament in our personal Bible reading. I just know that. One lady told me, Pastor, I got done 10:30 on Tuesday night. Glory to God. That means we don't need to read our Bible anymore, right? Here's an August challenge. We got 20 days left in the month of August. If you read 2.5 chapters a day together, let's read through the book of Genesis in the remainder of the month of August. 2.5 chapters. Some of you are going to read a lot more than that. It doesn't take long. You found that out. It doesn't take long to read chapters in the Bible, in the Word of God. We must be a people of the book, where the book is the most important thing we have and possess and love and it's got to be first place in our lives. Go back to chapter 8 in Nehemiah again. The people were attentive. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. First time the word pulpit is found in the word of God, which they had made for that purpose, for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah. And there are 6 men on his left, on his right, and 7 men on his left. These are men that stood with Ezra when he was reading the word of God. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. This was a Bible-craving crowd. You know why people are coming on Sunday night to church right here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and even coming from other churches to Fundamental Baptist Church on Sunday night? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. That's why they come. You know why the crowds have been so great this summer on Sunday night? Well, it's because of that chart, isn't it? No, that's not the chart, because I had that chart made about a decade ago, and I used it once before, and it didn't get that kind of response. It's not the chart. It's the Bible. People are hungry. They know we're in the last days, and they are hungry for the Word of God. Man, we've got to hunger for the Scriptures again. They respected the book. When Ezra opened the book, everybody stood. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. So here's what happened. Ezra, bring out the book. So they bring out the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They bring it out. And Ezra lays it out and he opens the book. It's a scroll. He opens the book. And when the book is getting ready to be read, everybody just automatically stands. These are the Hebrews. These are the people of God. They knew something was missing in their lives, and it was the Word of God. They had everything else in order, but something was missing in their lives, and it was the Word of God. God's people always get conflicted when they're not in the book. God's people will get discouraged if they're not in the book. And you won't get enough Bible in 1 hour on Sunday morning to make your life a success. Boy, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of truth. Man, that is a command from God. So here's Ezra. He's got the men on his right and the men on his left, and he rolls out the scroll, and people stand to their feet. Everybody stands to their feet. And he prays to the great God of heaven. So the book is open, and he prays. And after he's done praying, the people say, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They were so excited about getting Bible. So excited about the word of God. They were beside themselves. When Ezra finally brings out the book, I don't think it was like a football game, but I can almost, in my little boy's mind, I can hear them chanting, bring out the book, bring out the book. I'm sure that's not how it was happening. But they brought it out. Ezra, they open it up. Everybody stands. Ezra prays to the great God in heaven, and he begins to read. And oh, God bless us. And people bow their heads. They're humble before the word of God. People raise their hands. That's giving glory to God. It's hard for some of us to do that. I do it in my private life. I don't do it a lot in public, but you know, it's God. It's God. Read on here. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Some of them got right on the ground. And some more men are mentioned here, some more of the Levites. And they read in the book of the law of God, verse 8, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. These men were Bible preachers. They exegeted the scripture. That means they exposed the word of God for what it was saying. They gave clear sense to the word of God. Don't be looking for a Bible that you can read like you read the Sioux Evening News and know exactly what's said in the paragraph, one reading through it and it's all over. There's no depth to it. Don't be looking for that kind of Bible. There's all kinds of weak translations floating around out there where the devil is doing his best to distract the people of God. You need meat and potatoes. You need the King James Bible. You say, I don't understand everything. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. I got to tell you something. This book is a little bit deeper than your pastor. Man, I got to study. They exegeted. They gave clear distinction in their preaching to the word of God. They gave sense to the word of God. Preaching, being a Bible preacher. Boy, I have nothing but the greatest respect for men that are Bible preachers and then their lives match what they're preaching. And they preach with power. And they don't rely on worldly techniques. It's not like standing up and teaching a class on history. Preaching is being anointed of God. It's a calling. It's taking the word of God and sharing it. And you see what it says while it's being preached. It's right there. But but the preacher that is the Bible preacher is someone who exegetes the scripture. One old man said this, preaching is yelling and spitting and sweating and looking good while you're doing it. That's not preaching. Preaching is the exposition. It is the a man of God, called of God, anointed, and preaching the scripture. Verse 9 says, Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, which means governor, all right? And Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The word of God has that effect. Unless you're a cold-hearted person. Unless you already know everything. Which I probably should let you in on a little side note there. You know nothing. In fact, if you think that already, you're done. You know what? God can't use you. You're set on a shelf. You're probably already on a shelf and don't even know it. But when the word of God is read and it's preached, and the people begin to weep, they're weeping because they realize they've failed God. They realize they're guilty of sin. And this is the Feast of Trumpets. This is supposed to be a time of rejoicing, but now they're beginning to weep. We've all got failings. If you'll look to God, God will get you past your failings. The tears don't have to always be there. God will give you absolute victory. Verse 10 says, Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the Feast of the Trumpets. If you read the calendar part here of this passage, Feast of the Trumpets, this is a time of rejoicing. The people are supposed to be rejoicing. They got together. They're in front of the water gate. The temple is finished. The walls are finished. Glory to God. Give glory to God. That was actually a miracle where God worked in their midst. And God provided for them every step of the way. But the people realize something's missing in our lives. Something is not there. And it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And maybe one man shouted it out first. Maybe it started with a little rumble amongst the crowd. Maybe it did turn into a chant. But someone said, Ezra, bring out the book. We need to hear from heaven. And he took and he unrolled the scroll there on the pulpit. And as he unrolled it, everybody stood to their feet out of great respect for God's book. Listen, this is the holy word of God. This is God's book. It's not a book to treat lightly and throw in the back window of the car or between the seats of the caravan or whatever it is you're driving. This is a book that's meant to be studied. It deserves its own place. We don't worship the Bible, but we understand it's God's book. Verbal, plenary, inspiration of God. The holy word of God. They stood to their feet. Ezra prayed. The people said, Amen. Some of them lifted their hands. Some of them bowed their heads. Others got right on their face in the dirt as they worshiped God. They continued to preach and people heard and understood that they'd failed God. You know why they understood they failed God? I don't think I'm making this real clear. They understood that God's word is real. It's real. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It's what Pastor Josh read this morning for our scripture reading. The word of God is alive. It's alive. Not in that it's changing, but that it's living. It says here in verse 12 of chapter 4, the book of Hebrews, for the word of God is quick, old English word for alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The preacher doesn't know what's going on in your life, but God knows what's going on in your life. And he instructs the word of God. He instructs the preacher to preach the word of God. And you hear the word of God. You say, man, that's me. Was he in our kitchen this last week? Did he hear what I was talking about in the car? You know, that's the word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the people of God, there in front of the water gate, there as the word of God was being read and then preached and exegeted, the people were convicted and they wept. God's word is real. Go to verse 13. Oh, verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They understood the word of God. That's what Bible preaching does. And you know what happens when you understand the word of God? Great joy. Great mirth. Verse 17, great gladness. That's a result of Bible preaching. There's conviction of sin. People get right with God. Repentance and then revival. With that revival comes great joy. Verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. They wanted more. They needed more. The leadership gathered together and said, man, we've got to have some more, Ezra. Give us some more. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. This is the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is another festival week that the Hebrew people were supposed to be observing in the Old Testament, but they'd gotten so far away from God, they weren't even going to church anymore. They'd gotten so far away from God, idols had crept in and took over. And Pastor Bill and I were talking about this last week. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, little children, keep yourselves from idols. We came to the conclusion everybody has an idol of some kind, something that you will take every time before God. As soon as it calls your name, you are there. It may be a thought, it may be a philosophy, it may be a thing, it may be a place, it may be an activity. But you got an idol. And you color it all different colors, trying to hide it as an idol, but it's an idol. And as soon as it calls your name, man, you're there and you're running. That's why John said, little children, keep yourself from idols. Here we are back in the Old Testament. It's Nehemiah's day. Bring us the book. The temple's done. The walls are done. Bring us the book. Ezra comes out. He brings the book. The preachers are giving sense to the word of God after it's read. They're preaching the word of God. People are convicted of their sin. They understand they're guilty of idol worship. They're putting something in front of God. That could be a son, by the way. That could be a daughter. That could be a grandkid. That could be a job. It could be a sport. It could be an activity. It could be anything. We've all got them. So don't sit in judgment of one another. But if we're ever going to have revival, tear that idol down. Tear it down. Get it out of your life. So we need more, Ezra. That was great. That was great. We need more, the leadership. So they're pouring through the word of God. And Ezra's there helping them. And the other Levites are there helping them. And they come to the passage where they're supposed to be celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacles that celebrates their exodus out of the land of Egypt of 400 years of slavery and how they lived in tents and little lean-tos and little tabernacles. They lived in a very humble fashion and they had to get out quick. And they're reminded of the glorious salvation that God has provided, Jehovah God has provided for them. And they're to never forget it, but they've forgotten it. And being Bible fundamentalists, they want to obey literally the word of God. And they say, hey, we've got to build these booths. Right now is the time of the tabernacles. Verse 15. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. They made booths everywhere. That's what happens when revival takes place. The Bible gets everywhere. All over the workplace, all over the streets, all over, every place, up on the roofs, everywhere there was to build a booth, the people were building these booths. And we read in verse 17, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. They decided to obey God literally. And the result was very great gladness. Revival. When God's people forget the word of God and cease to obey the scripture, that is when they're conflicted. That is when they're distracted. That's when God says, okay, you're on your own for a while. And things go bad. Repentance and revival. That is the message of the book of Nehemiah. The wall is not enough. God's word is real. And they decided to obey God literally. Take God at his word. You can come to church here at Fundamental. You can send your kids to a Christian school. You can send your kids out to camp. You can send them to youth group. You can come to Fundamental Baptist Church, raise your family here. But if you're not reading the Bible yourself, your kids will not follow the Lord apart from divine intervention. And your life is a facade. It's empty. And it'll come crashing down. But here's the good news. If you get all wrapped up in this book, God will strengthen you. Your flesh will be set aside and you'll be spiritually strengthened. And you'll do more for God and you'll gain heavenly wisdom that you would not have had otherwise. And you'll know the full blessing of God. And it's a fight and it's a battle, but you've got God on your side. All the difference.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.